Right, Martin, so I do apologise, but we failed again.
We really have failed again, haven't we? This is bad. And this isn't even us trying and failing. This is us just completely dropping the ball on getting tickets in the second round for Eurovision this year in Rotterdam.
Yes, that's right. And I like that you take some of the blame on this, but really it was up to me and I completely forgot, to be honest. And I do enjoy many days later in our WhatsApp group, you were like, did we get the tickets then, by the way? Just wondering. And we were all like, oh no.
Oh no, we didn't, no.
Didn't even try, didn't even get into the queue. It was just that I forgot. I forgot it was happening.
Whoopsie!
Which, I mean, drop the ball there.
Hello and welcome to Nul Poir, the podcast for you if you're interested in the Eurovision Song Contest, but you probably don't want to take it too seriously. If that is you, you've come to the right place. My name's Martin.
And I'm Laura, or Cress, as I also get referred to as.
Yes, I will continue to call you Cress until the bitter end. I'm at the moment in a slightly different place to usual, by the way, Cress. I'm at my in my mum and dad's house and in my childhood bedroom. So if you're wondering
why
I sound ever so slightly different, that's why.
Can you give us a little...
The dog might come and join me in a minute, but that's all exciting, isn't it?
Can you give us a little tour of your childhood bedroom? Are there any embarrassing things there?
Let me just, if I can go to the, I'll go to the cupboard.
Oh, here we go.
Let's have a little look in the cupboard. What have we got here?
Hey, you don't get this on other Eurovision podcasts,
no,
do
no,
you?
Oh, look. Okay, there is something in here. This is, hold on, let me just bring him out.
Oh, dear.
This is Soft Ted. He might even squeak. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, he's a bit old, poor Softhead.
So he's quiet.
No, he's not. No, he's not squeaking anymore.
No, he's. It's a bit
shy. There he goes.
Oh,
hey, Softhead. Yeah, Softhead was made in West Germany, a country that no longer exists. That's how old Softhead is. And I assume that West Germany must have at some point, wonderful Eurovision link here, must have at some point just been called West Germany and then just linked up and just become regular Germany. Does that still count as the current German entry, or did it change countries?
Sorry, I genuinely don't understand what you're asking there. That was a very confusing...
No. So when they entered Eurovision, right, they would have entered it under the name West Germany because that was the name of the country.
Right.
But then following when East and West combined to become Germany once again, will they still be the same country, just with a different name, or is it a sort of new country?
Right. So you're saying would the old entries have been called West Germany, or would they be called Germany now?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they would just be called. They'd still be called West Germany.
Right. Okay. We learned nothing there. Let's move on because
no, we did. We did. You asked a question, and I answered it. They're still called. They're not called Germany. They're called. I mean, if that's what you were asking, I don't really know what you were asking. I don't know how a little teddy bear got us into that. But anyway,
yes. Let's move on. Before we actually get into the Eurovision news, I was going to say hello and thank you so much if you've just started listening to Nul Poir. Based on that conversation about teddy bears in Germany, you're probably wondering what terrible mistake you must have made to bring you here. But thank you, because we've had lots of new listeners in the last few weeks, and it's really lovely to see, so thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
And we move on to the first bit of Eurovision business, which is that of the semi-final allocation.
So this is obviously they do a draw. This is when they also hand over, of course, the key, the big Eurovision key, which is all the previous country that this host cities inscribed on it. They hand that over, so Rotterdam now officially hosting this 2020 Eurovision contest, and it weighs over 30 kilograms, can I say as well, Martin. We have seen it. Remember when we've gone to previous, it's always in the town hall they display it.
Yes.
This big key.
Yes.
keychain.
Great. That's, yeah, it's good. And yeah. The way they do it, if you've ever seen the draw for the FA Cup, where they have a great big pots of balls and somebody puts their hands in and pulls out a ball and says, number 13, Blackpool are playing somebody else. It's sort of similar to that. So they start by pulling out which semi-final the big five are going to be voting in, so that they are evenly spread across the two semi-finals. So this time round, France is in semi-final two alongside Spain and the United Kingdom, and then the other three, so Germany, Italy, and then of course the Netherlands, who are hosting this year, so they get to be part of the big, well, yeah, the big six, I suppose. They are in semi-final one.
Yes.
Then we move on to random allocations of the first and second semi-final. And then I'm not sure how they work out what order they're going to go in. Presumably just the order that they pull the balls out of the pot.
Yeah, so as you're right, they do the draw, and then I'm just looking at this, just saying about when will tickets go on sale. Well, we should have read that. but I believe that is the case. I think that's something we will have to get our podcast researchers to look into and see if that is how it works.
Yes, well, they're very overworked these days.
We did on our Twitter ask people which semi-finals should we go to now that we know which countries are performing in which one, because obviously we're going to go to Rotterdam and hopefully we can't make the final, but we wanted to check out one, at least one of the semi-finals. And shall I tell you, Martin, the semi-final our followers voted was semi-final one, which, shall I read out which countries are performing in that one?
Yeah, you do semi-final one, I'll do semi-final two.
Right, so for semi-final one, this is what people suggested we should go and see. There's two halves, obviously, North Macedonia, Belarus, Lithuania, Sweden, Slovenia, Australia, Ireland, Russia, then on to the second half, Norway, Cyprus, Croatia, Azerbaijan, Malta, Israel, Ukraine, Romania, Belgium.
And I think that is quite a good, that is quite a good semi-final, really, isn't it? A nice spread of different countries, different parts of Europe.
Sweden.
Countries with different histories of Eurovision participation in there as well. Obviously, you've got the big hitters like Sweden, Ireland's won lots. You've got a couple of Scandinavian countries in there. Malta always comes out with a belter. Previous winner Israel is in there as well. And then you've got some of the newbies as well, like Lithuania, North Macedonia in there too. So there's quite a few there that would be worth seeing, I would say.
Yeah. You've got the second semi-final allocations.
Yes. So here is the second semi-final. Austria, Moldova, Poland, San Marino, Serbia, Iceland, Czech Republic, Greece, Estonia. Then into the second half, Denmark, Bulgaria, Switzerland, Finland, Armenia, Latvia, Georgia, Portugal, and ending with Albania.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I would be quite happy to see either of those semi-finals, to be honest, but I can see why people's sort of nudged us towards the first one. I mean, either of them will always be quite interesting. Let's just see if we manage to get to one of them.
Yeah, let's see if we manage to get to any of them. Couple of countries here that won't be very happy, and they are North Macedonia and Austria, because they're going first, and there does seem to be a bit of a curse. If you go first, you kind of get a little bit forgotten about, seems to be the wisdom. And so I imagine if I was Austria or if I was North Macedonia, I wouldn't be too happy at the moment. Notice as well, and you wonder whether this was intentional or not, North Macedonia and Greece are in separate semi-finals. Now, I'm sure they'll say that that's all down to the luck of the draw, but it's kind of quite lucky considering that there's been quite a few tensions between the two countries politically this year.
Perhaps so. But yeah, it's all done by the luck of the draw. So I think that's all we could say on that one.
Right, just want to run through quickly because quite a few countries now, as we're getting a lot closer to the time when people need to declare what's going on, quite a few countries have announced who is going to be representing them in Rotterdam. Too many, really, to go through them all in great detail. So I thought I'd just basically just read them out. So the Czech Republic have announced that Benny Christo, great name, is going to be representing them. For Greece, Stefania is going to be singing the song Supergirl. She's representing Greece. Congratulations, Stefania. Israel, so the previous host of the competition, Eden Allen, is representing Israel. Samantha Tina is representing Latvia. Destiny Chukunyiri is representing Malta. Dio Data is the competitor for Italy. And then finally, we move on to Australia. And we have a bit of a surprise regarding that particular entry, Cress.
We do indeed. You may remember in a previous episode, we said hello to Lara, one of our listeners, who was annoyed that I said your name too much, Martin.
Yes. And you're not bitter about that, though, are you?
Nope. Let that go. but lovely Laura, there's been obviously the decision over who Australia will take to Eurovision 2020. That went on over the weekend. Eurovision Australia decides. And Laura, of course, is living in Australia and watched the national selection for us, and here she is telling us what happened.
Hello, Nolpwa. It's Australia calling. This Saturday evening, Australia made their decision for their entrant for Eurovision 2020. It was done by a TV show called Australia Decides, held up in the Gold Coast, Queensland. And in true Eurovision style, the hosts were wearing sequined green and gold tracksuits with a host of bad jokes. Kate Miller-Heike, who was last year's entrant, opened the show with a performance of her song from last year, Zero Gravity. And then the top 10 contestants, which were whittled down from 600 entrants, then performed their original songs. These ranged from experienced musicians, Hollywood actors and buskers, and a very wide variety of different songs, from power ballads to very Eurovision techno pop. After all 10 performed, the phone lines were opened for around 15 minutes and the decision was made up of 50% votes from the jury and 50% of votes from the audience. Whilst voting, something very exciting happened. 2015 winner, who from Sweden, Måns Zelmerlöw, performed his winning song, Heroes. Apparently he just happened to be in the Gold Coast. A bit strange that. And then something even stranger happened when Eurovision royalty Jon Olesands also happened to just be in the Gold Coast and verified the results, muttering his three magical words of take it away when the winner was ready to be announced. They went through the jury results first in reverse order, and that made up the first 50%, with the second 50% being made up from the public votes. The same act topped both leaderboards, so the act for 2020 representing Australia is an artist called Montaigne with a song Don't Break Me, about a relation breakdown and complacency in a relationship when somebody else is trying really hard. She performed with blue hair, a tutu around her neck with almost like a bit of a clown look, but it seemed to work for her and the Australian audience. Really seems to have picked up momentum since Australia entered Eurovision 5 or 6 years ago, and there's a lot of excitement built around this, so bring on Rotterdam 2020.
Lara, thank you very much indeed. A bit of a report there, almost like it was actually on the Eurovision. We were crossing live. I like that. From Australia. And, well, a few things to say before we get on to the song. Number one, unbelievable that Jon Olesand and Måns both made an appearance on that show. Måns is more understandable because he actually has something to offer. What was Jon Olesand doing there?
I mean, they were just getting a paid trip, weren't they?
Yeah.
Paid invitation to come out to Australia. Were you just sort of sit there and say, oh, yeah, the judges are ready. Yeah, oh, come to Australia to do that. Yeah, sure, yeah. I love that because Måns was also hosting when we did, I think, last year for the past two years, our version of Australia Decides.
Yeah.
So he's obviously just dines out on that one win and just
hey,
like, come,
why not?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I just find it funny. He pops up again and performs Heroes again. Like, is he not sick of that song by now?
Well, I don't know. It's a cash cow, isn't it? So
it is
he can only be so
it's a great
sick
song.
Of it. Let's talk about the song that Australia then are putting forward.
Yes.
And I'm going to play you a tiny little excerpt of it now. But just imagine, I mean, Lara did very, very good job of describing this person. I would say that Montaigne looks like someone, if you've ever seen the film The Hunger Games, this person would sit very nicely in the capital.
A little bit, or a little bit like Marie Antoinette, maybe. maybe. There's another image that's in my mind with blue hair.
Okay, have a listen to this. Montaigne, it's called Don't Break Me. Performing with bare feet, I notice as well. And a very, very Eurovision song.
Yes, I think so. It's performing, barefooted with a sort of mop of blue hair and a ruff, very emotional. I'm not sure it has as much of the sort of wow factor as last year's Zero Gravity, which Lara mentioned.
Yeah, well, no pogo sticks, no massive pogo sticks to wobble about on, so it's less of that.
But it's interesting that, as Lara said, both the jury and the public thought that was the best one. So it's obviously, it got 107 points overall. So obviously the audience felt it had something. So we'll be interested to see how well it does. I also love, because when I first looked at it, I was like, is that Montaigne? The way it's spelt, and when Lara said it, it definitely sounded much more Australian, of Montaigne.
Yeah, I mean, she isn't Australian, we should point that out, but I see what you mean, yeah.
But she's obviously picked up some kind of twang, because when she said that, it definitely sounded Australian.
Well, do you know what? I say good luck to Australia. They've really gone all out in making it sound as Eurovision as possible. They've gone about it the right way, I think. If you're going to do a show where you choose who represents you at Eurovision, do what Australia have done. And I think Germany do something similar to this as well, to the best of my knowledge, which is they basically replicate the Eurovision voting system. So they do 50% jury, 50% televotes, they run it with the same point system and everything. So it's almost like they're testing it against the voting system.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see how Australia fares this year. They've always done pretty well, to be honest. They're always popular entrants. So no doubt, it'll be theirs to kind of lose in terms of at least getting into they're normally like in the top sort of five or six so far.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing really well since they joined the competition a few years ago now. So although I have to say they entered very, very strong, and they have started, in my view anyway, to dip ever so slightly. Yeah. And I think the votes have reflected that.
Agreed.
Still pretty strong.
Yes, because I think the first year they entered it, they could have won it, to be honest. Mm. It was very close.
Yeah, and we would have been going to the Gold Coast.
Well, we wouldn't have, but
No, we wouldn't have, because they... Yeah.
We probably would have been going to the UK.
Yeah.
They probably would have chosen us.
We would have just gone down the road, wouldn't we? It would have been the cheapest one we've ever done. Although it probably wouldn't have, actually, knowing the way things are going. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Just a few things to say to Em, which is just to say thank you very much. If you're a new listener, thank you very much as well, even more so. Tell your friends and follow us, because we are always tweeting, and we have lots of ways that you can contact us, and Cress has those details and she's learnt them.
Right. I've learnt them. I'm going to do it right. Twitter, @Points Null. So it's Points Null. N-U-L. And we are on iTunes now, if you just search Null Point.
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah.
We are on iTunes as well as Spotify and SoundCloud. So you can search for it. Just put in Null Point, Eurovision, you'll find us. And also we're on Gmail. We'd love to get your suggestions about what we should be covering or thoughts on the latest episodes. So it's just nullpointpodcast@gmail.com. So nullpointspodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you very much.
How did I do?
I say that's 10 out of 10. From me here in my old bedroom.
All right. Don't need to add that part to it.
No, fair enough. Goodbye.
Bye.